Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Promoting peace, liberty, and prosperity around the clock. LibertyTalk.fm.
Welcome to Living the Solution with Dr. Elena George. Today I have one of my favorite guests on, somebody who's extremely popular, by the way. My listeners love her. We're going to speak with the Common Core Diva, Ms. Lynn Taylor. And, you know, we have a series going, Lynn, and every time you come on, it's like, oh my gosh, what else do I don't know? So today we're going to speak about something a little, I don't think people know about this. You know, Agenda 2030 is out there. People are starting to get more in tune with the word sustainable and, you know, 15-minute cities and climate change and all these other things that are going on. But I don't think people are keying into development goals and what that really means and what we're attempting to, what they are attempting to do. We speak about education, but this is more pervasive than that, isn't it?
Well, absolutely, Dr. Elena, and thank you so much. It's always such a joy to be with you and your audience, and I'm so glad that they are learning so much from us because, you know, that is why we do what we do. But the Sustainable Development Goals are from the United Nations, and we know the Luciferian roots are totally anti-God. So just basically think anything that you know to be good, right, and pure. These goals go after and absolutely put it under the most draconian, barbaric parameters known to man. And the thing is there's such a sales pitch going on with them about, oh, well, you know, we're going to have no poverty. We're going to have no hunger. Everyone's going to have great education. Everyone's going to have a great job. You're going to have a great city and we're going to take care and everybody's going to, you know, be happy and sing kumbaya. And nothing could be further from the truth, because what they actually mean is to deceive you into thinking that they're from the government and they're going to help you into the fact of, no, we're from the government and we are here to control your every move.
It seems like it's the mantra that underlies everything that they espouse. Every time people should really be, their ears should prick up when they say absolutes like no poverty, no hunger, nobody goes uneducated. That means something different in that system than it does for an average person.
Well, so, absolutely. Yes, it does. And the sales pitch is through the culture. It's through the colors, because they have gone into, and when I say they, not just the United Nations, but the groups that work with them, including the United Nations Catholic Women's Organization, because they help come up with the color scheme for a lot of these. But I want you, when you hear it, and this is in my article that was on the American Policy, where it was talking about the Sustainable Development Goal number 2, which is no hunger. And in it, I put an image, and I'm going to read it real quickly, Dr. Elena, and then I will let you have it back. Now, here's how the Sustainable Development Goals are being sold as. Number 1 is no poverty. What that actually means, if you actually survive long enough to be under these goals, it would mean that you would own nothing and everyone else around you would own nothing. No hunger. Well, you eat nothing or what you're told or very little. Number 3 is good health and well-being. Well, that is that your mental health as well as the rest of your health is tracked and managed for you. Number 4 we know is quality education. You're taught only the Sustainable Development Goal skills. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less. Number 5 is gender equality. Well, we don't need that because there won't be any genders. Number 6, clean water and sanitation. Well, that will be only for those who conform to the United Nations. The same thing for number 7, which is affordable clean energy. Again, only to those who conform. We have number 8, which is decent work for all and the economy. Well, the skill that you learned in number 4 will be your job, and it will not be your job. It will be you're working for someone, because again, you're not going to have anywhere that is your own or food that's your own. All right. We also have number 9, which is industry, innovation, and infrastructure. Well, your neighborhood is your prison. Number 10. Reduce inequalities. Well, that will be rulers versus subjects. Sustainable Cities is number 11. You are spied on everywhere you go. Number 12 is Responsible Consumption and Production. This will be the rulers consume, but you don't. Number 13, Climate Action. Well, science is manipulated to rule us. Number 14, Life Underwater. No beach access, no access to anything that's in the ocean. Number 15 is Life on Land. The rulers own it, you don't. Number 16, Peace, Justice, and Strong Organizations. This is tyrannical rule with no peace or true justice, not in the way that we know it to be. And then lastly, number 17 is Partnerships for the Goals. And that is, in reality, everyone must conform.
This is not an environment that I think is conducive to individual pursuit of happiness, to put it mildly. Parents being able to parent their child, people being able to choose their destiny in terms of what they want to pursue as a job, where they want to live, and what they want to eat. I mean, this is living, basically, is about to be under the system controlled from cradle to grave.
Absolutely. And we've been talking about this sort of thing on and off for, 2 years now?
Mm-hmm. So the education system is the fulcrum for this to happen. We know, I think the older generation knows what came before. We're a problem, right? But if you start off from preschool, or actually in the womb, if you want to go there, with you don't even know what good is, you don't know what freedom is, you don't have any frame of reference to complain, they must be chomping at the bit for this next generation to become adult, because that's not going to give them any pushback or resistance.
Oh, no, and it's already happening. I mean, if you look in the news right now, Montana supposedly just made history because the youth, a particular group of youth there in the state, took the state to court and said, you know, you've impeded on my right to breathe free air because, you know, after all the fossil fuels are just clogging up the air and making my life awful. We won't go into the ludicrousness of this, but we're already seeing some of these labors come to fruition. Now, when one of the questions I think in prepping that you had me get ready for was you wanted to talk about what these particular goals were, which we just did. You wanted to talk about the color psychology. So if you're ready for that, let's jump into that.
Yes, you sure can.
Okay. Now, I want you to think, when you are advertising something or when you see an advertisement, there's always careful attention to the colors, the wording, everything about it. And I want you to think about the psychology that's used in marketing. And the United Nations used this to their advantage. So very quickly, and this is from a website where it goes into the particular psychology behind the colors. Anything that you see in yellow in marketing, and I want you to think like, I don't know, your favorite product that has a yellow background. That's supposed to be clarity or warm, and it's supposed to promote optimism. Now think about your favorite product or ad where you see orange. Well, that's supposed to be cheerful and confident. This is supposed to promote friendliness. Red, well, that's supposed to represent youthful and bold or promoting excitement. Purple or lilac, well, that's going to be imaginative or wise. And let me point out real quick, there is no purple or lilac in the Sustainable Development Goal logos. And here's why, because it's supposed to promote creativity. Blue is supposed to represent dependable and strong and promote trust. Green is supposed to bring about minds of growth and health. And it's supposed to promote peacefulness. And then gray and white, which are used in the wording, are supposed to represent neutral and calm and should promote balance. Now, that's from a marketing standpoint. What the United Nations did was they took all 17, broke it into shades of the ones that I've just gone over, with the exception of lilac or purple, and put their spin on it. But they're also color-coded to match either Agenda 2015 or some other things. For example, any of the sustainable development goals that are red or pink, and that would be poverty, education, that would also be reduced inequalities, all of those, I want you to think that you have a picture that has no frame. Well, the frame is what the UN is going to put around the picture. Okay, so they're providing the frame and they'll provide the picture that you're holding. Anything that's orange, and that would be the gender equality, the industry, infrastructure, and innovation, those are going to be post-2015 Sustainable Development Goal decisions, but there's not enough collectivism yet in our world, so we still have to work on those. Now, anything that's yellow, that would be the affordable and clean energy, the sustainable cities, the no hunger. Let's see, I think that was it on those. That is supposed to be, well, we don't have enough partners on board just yet, so we got to really keep working on these goals. Blue, again, post-2015, but there's not enough legislation, and that would represent the peace, justice, strong institutions, the life underwater, the life on land. We also have the clean water and sanitation. And then finally, anything that's in green. These were agreed on in 2015, but will be continued to be harped on to railroad the agenda over all of us. And that would include the climate action, the life on land, the good health, the well-being. And there you go.
So there is no accident that we see climate change being driven, you know, driven home every chance they get. I just saw a commercial yesterday where somebody was talking about climate change and how it was affecting, you know, life as we live. I mean, it was just like, do you ever read a book? Do you, you know, do you understand what CO2 really is? I mean, it was like, it was the worst thing in the world. We need CO2 to survive.
You know, well, we also need the trees to take it.
Exactly.
So that we can breathe and still survive. But climate change is attached to Sustainable Development Goal number 2, which is supposed to be, you know, no hunger. Now, what that means, what the system wants you to think when you hear no hunger, Dr. Elena, is that everyone is going to have something to eat.
Exactly.
They're not. And climate change, just like nuclear energy and all kinds of infrastructure and everything else, all these goals are woven into each other. So hunger doesn't stand by itself. Education doesn't stand by itself. They're all interconnected. But how they're going to use climate change in this particular instance in railroading the fact that we're going to have to get the United States better on board with the Sustainable Development Goals as far as no hunger is we're going to sit here and talk about Latin America and how climate change has totally mucked up the entire playing field. So I want you to think, in other words, this is going to continue to prop up the junk science and involve more public-private partnerships.
Now, we're going to take a break in a minute or so, but I want to start the conversation with watch the news. I mean, if you're looking at what's going on, there has to be something, a voice in the back of your mind saying, if everybody's supposed to be eat, you know, not have any hunger, we're seeing whole farms shut down in the Netherlands, literally. We're seeing South Africa where the farmers are being decimated. Breadbasket areas within Africa, Europe are being removed and shut down. Here in the United States as well, right? We've got fires and all sorts of things, droughts. How on earth did they expect that principle to come to fruition when they're literally shutting down farms in the name of climate change, which makes absolutely no sense? And I actually saw an article where they cut down acres of trees for wind farms. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't seem like they're trying to help nature, or they're getting rid of nature to make this thing come to fruition. So I want you to think about that. So we'll take our first break and come back and let you answer when we return. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living Solution. We're speaking with the Common Core Diva, Miss Lynn Taylor. And before the break, I tried to give people a frame of reference that the things that they're espousing for everybody eating, they're getting rid of. They're killing cattle. There's thousands of cattle, heads of cattle have died in the United States. They've killed chickens. There's cutting down forests. shutting down farms. How do they jibe with this, Lynn, that you're going to feed the whole world, but you're removing the source of food production?
Well, you're removing the natural source, the God-given source, and you're replacing it with artificial. You're replacing it with things that we were never physically enabled to eat. In other words, you know, think about, okay, the big example right now is the shift to bugs. If you look at our digestive system, we physically were never designed to eat bugs and be okay. There are certain bugs out there, Dr. Elena, that carry more diseases and carry more proteins that our bodies cannot break down. And thus, by eating them in large quantities, we will become sicker and more disease ridden. But how wonderful for those who are on the other side of this, because they'll get to manage you even more. Because if you're sick, you're more manageable. You're more easily coerced. If you're hungry, you're going to be more manipulated. But let's think about this in another way. If it's not artificial food, it's going to be the fact that you are worth more, not as a living, breathing person, but as some sort of computer image. And that's the way that the artificial intelligence is playing into this. And when you hear the fact that you've got nuclear type technology coming in to solve hunger problems, that should be a wake up call for everybody. But the thing that got me even to thinking about writing this particular article that we're discussing is the fact that the Congress, the federal departments that are involved are willingly doing with our tax dollars this harm to us, as well as trying to plan harm to others. And we're supposed to be okay with this, and we're supposed to nod along and go, oh yeah, let's get everybody on board, because after all, nobody needs to be hungry. And you know, that goes back to the Bible. We were told to feed and clothe, but it wasn't the government. It was the people.
I agree. And the government's trying to take over the role of everything. Parent, spouse, you know, caregiver. It's becoming the overriding umbrella that everybody needs to be beholden to and be, you know, for their existence. Need to go through. I mean, this, you're right. This is such a big picture. We keep getting distracted with social issues, with episodes that happen that get amplified that really may question some of them if they're really true. I don't know. But it's making us so angry and so frustrated and wanting to give up. I mean, I'm reading statistics that I never thought I would read, you know, the young population at the level of suicide, for example, has gone through the roof. And that, I mean, if you don't have a will to live and a feeling of well-being about what your future can be, you really have to question the system, don't you?
Well, absolutely. But this is, you know, this is something that we've seen and people are wondering, well, why is it at an all-time high? You know, I don't know that it is truly at an all-time high, or that's the headline that we're supposed to be buying into so that we will look so far the other way that we don't see what's going on over on the other side of the aisle, so to speak.
It's a good point. I mean, it's distraction and it's manipulation and it's really just exhausting, honestly.
Right. But this is how the UN operates, and it always has. But I want us to stop and think. Back in the 114th session of Congress, we're currently in the 118th. Okay. So go back just a few administrations. There was a U.S. public law that was called the Global Food Security Act. And it's been used present day in Congress for, get this. Now, this was just the top set of bills. There are a plethora over at congress.gov. Just type in food and you'll get them. Senate Bill 436. This is the SAFE Act, or the Securing Allies Food in Emergencies Act. Senate Bill 1227, the Fish Act, which is Fighting Foreign Illegal Seafood Harvests Act. H.R. 598, this is Earth Act to Stop Climate Pollution by 2030. S. 2312, will include the Department of Agriculture, as well as Health and Human Services, as new members of a 1950 Defense Production Act, which will attach itself to foreign investments on U.S. soil. H.R. 4577 will increase the amount of land the U.S. government can acquire both domestically and by foreign investments. H.R. 2364 will limit funding for fiscal year 2024 in global agriculture and food security budgets. H.R. 1219, cybersecurity to secure the food industry. And lastly, H.R. 4368, the federal appropriations for the U.S. Departments of Agriculture, the Food and Drug Administration, Rural Development, and every other related agency to these. Now, they're using every one of these, Dr. Elena, to come in and basically say, well, we don't represent we the people, and we're not going to do what's best for Americans. We're going to go out here and we're going to do what our lobbyists and our corporate partnerships are creating on a global scale. And whether you like it or not, America, you're going to pay with your tax money and you're going to be okay with it.
Seems like the overriding way that things are done now, it's taking our money to work against us. And right. You made it an example about our food, and the FDA comes to mind because they just approved using fake meat and other artificial things, bioengineered food, entering our food supply, like APEEL, for example. Right. We need to look that up. There's no testing with this. It's just a conglomerate or corporate interest driving the market. But I don't see any real pushback in terms of what testing has been done, what safety studies have been done. That seems to be the underlying thing that happens when they have an innovation.
Right. Well, if there has been a test, we've not seen it. But, you know, it might be the fact of, all right, think about the Sackler family when they were doing what they did with OxyContin. Mm-hmm. They marketed the crud out of that as this wonder drug. Didn't show us the testing, didn't show us a lot of the things that were going on. And, oh, look at the mess that we're in. But guess what? The national, It is the National Academies of Science, Engineering, and Medicine. And they are the ones who recently had this all-day webinar about how America could really reduce SGD to no hunger if they just got everybody on board. But here's who funds them. Are you ready? 70% comes from the federal government. The 30%, the Sackler family. Ooh, there's our number one family. Chevron, Google, Medtronic, Merck. Then you also have the Nathan Cummings Foundation, the Smith Richardson Foundation, the Ford Foundation, the Sloan Foundation, Kellogg Foundation, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, the Milnor Foundation, Arnold Ventures, MacArthur Foundation, Walton Foundation, and Hewlett-Packard Foundation.
That's an amazing amount of corporate interest and money. I think, you know, that mantra, it just stands as a truism. You need to follow the money. Because even if you're going into the scientific side of this, you have to look at these foundations underwriting these experiments and these, think tanks and all the things that go into this system to create the endpoint that they want. And who stands to gain? Is there a conflict of interest?
Oh, no, there's not, because some of these groups are the same ones that have funded the demise of our American education system. And we need to understand that Congress is so dependent on this National Academies of Science, Engineering, and Medicine that anytime they need a study on any topic that concerns we the people, NASM, as I call them, is the go-to entity. They're also partners with the World Health Organization and the United Nations. So of course we know who's going to profit.
So everything that they're espousing, they magically have some study that backs them up. But when you look at the, read the small print, find out where the funding is, everybody's standing to gain. So I know on the bigger side of this, what you're describing is a system where we just become unwilling consumers of their product with no other choice. You get rid of the competition. You educate people into ignorance. So they don't even have the tools to be a critical thinker. You know, that's not even a thing anymore. You just do it by rote. So this is a big picture where it's just unfolded, small little increments. Now, I think we're seeing the big picture now coming into focus. Is it too late? I mean, that's the question that begs to be answered. Is it too late for us to withdraw our consent?
I don't think so, but we would have to make such an uproar, Dr. Elena, and we would have to be very committed to paying whatever price. And, you know, I don't say that lightly, but we need to understand that, you know, we see a shift in our government. We see a shift in culture. We see not just in America, but, you know, we've talked about it a few shows ago where we were talking about gene editing people. We're gene editing animals and food for this very thing. Our Department of Health and Human Services, as unconstitutional as it is also coming out with this Healthy Body 2030 initiative. They already have. It's Healthy People 2030. So on a nationwide scale, this is attaching to children's mental health. This is attaching to how the government has prescribed outcomes for not just children, but our families. This also attaches to the UN's mental health overall plan for the entire world, where if you're not medicated, you're on behavior interventions. We've talked about that through our particular years of episodes. We also see that our SNAP funding, our temporary assistance for needy families, all the funding, the Medicare, Medicaid, anything that attaches to healthcare and food and healthcare and mental health, this is attaching to this HHS Healthy People program. And here is the thing that I found interesting that I wanted your input on, since you are a medically trained doctor. Now, the Health and Human Department has hunger qualified as the following. It's a potential consequence of food insecurity, which could lead to a prolonged involuntary lack of food. As such, addressing hunger is their duty. Did you catch that? It is the Health and Human Services Department's duty. Now, here are the stages that HHS has broken hunger down by. A, discomfort. B, an illness. C, a weakness. D, pain. Am I smoking dope, or is that just so out of order it's not even funny?
Yes, it's kind of out of order, but it's about manipulating you from, and you can extrapolate this to a medication, right? So if you have pain, you're going to be medicated for. If you have mental instability, you're going to be medicated. Mm-hmm. Something that they're going to be able to tag you so that you can be controlled in some way. That's what it seems to me. But they're putting this into a grid, and they're ratcheting it down because it's all about somebody making a diagnosis on you, whether that's going to be a teacher or somebody as a student, or what your purchases are, what website you're on. This is just going to be extrapolated out so that you can be categorized and by definition, either socially accepted or not, right? With their social credit.
That's how I see it. Unbelievable. Well, I wanted you to talk about, because I did not realize that the government was sitting here going, oh yes, hunger is an illness. Really? Go tell that to those who are suffering from bulimia or what is the other one? The one that Karen Carpenter died from?
Anorexia.
Yeah, thank you. Uh-huh. Yeah. I mean, those were rampant when I was a teenager. Those are illnesses related to hunger, but I don't see where the government says or could even come up with the fact that hunger is an illness. Yes, it can be a pain. Yes, it can be a discomfort, but an illness?
No, but everything's about medical now. The outside influence, or I should undue influence of the medical profession, is really, I think, akin or driving the empowerment of these legislation. Because once you've got that tag, it follows you everywhere, whether you have a mental condition or you are, as a parent, you want to, you know, be a parent to your child, that's going to be used against you because it's some sort of outlier. I mean, they're deciding what's considered to be normal based on their criteria, but it's self-fulfilling, isn't it?
Oh, it absolutely is. Now, what a lot of people don't know is that each of these 17 sustainable development goals have sub-goals, and some of the sub-goals are quite lengthy and some of them are not. Now, according to the United Nations, the sub-goals for zero hunger is, let's see here, they have it on their website right now, as more than 600 million people worldwide are projected to face hunger in 2030. So we're getting ready, Dr. Elena, we're getting ready for all those people. All right. Despite dropping in 2021, high food prices continue to plague many nations. All right. Little to no progress has been made in reducing, let's see here, in reducing anemia worldwide since 2000. And it goes into that and tells you that, yes, you have 1 in 3 people who struggle with food insecurity. That would be moderate to severe. And do you know that when you go to certain doctors now, you are continually asked questions like, are you feeling okay? Do you feel like you want to harm yourself? Or do you have access to food? We never used to get asked those kinds of questions.
No. But it makes sense when you think about what's been going on. You know, if your parent or pediatrician's asking, you know, does your child think she's a boy or a girl? Do you, you know, the vaccines question, all these things are part of their information gathering, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It absolutely is. But this is going to morph over into science and technology. It's going to morph over into absolutely every other sustainable development goal, because let's face it, food is one of our most basic needs. Water is the most basic, and that's even up for grabs.
Well, water is like gold, isn't it, at this point? Mm-hmm. So if whoever controls these basic resources of who gets to cultivate, who gets to control water resources. I mean, we're seeing communities where people, if they have a well on their own property, they're not allowed to access it, you know, not even capture rainwater on their property. You know, this was kind of, you know, a little bit of anecdotal initially, right? But this has become a norm pretty much. And they're creating the problem. You can say in 2030, if you really think about it, oh, there's going to be a food emergency because you're shutting down the farms, you're getting rid of mm-hmm. the animals, you're creating a situation where there will be, you're creating lack. And right. That's, you know, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. You can certainly write about that because you're creating the conditions for it now.
Absolutely.
On that note, let's take our second break so that we don't get, you know, have to stop in down the road. So let's take our second break. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living Solution. We're speaking with Ms. Lynn Taylor, and the article that we're speaking about that she wrote is on American Policy Center, and it's entitled Zero Hunger, SDG 2 Means Starvation for All. People need to go and read that, and I'll have that as a link when the show actually runs. So for just to go back to the beginning, what does SDG actually stand for?
Okay, SDG stands for Sustainable Development Goals. So we're sitting here knowing that the UN came up with this. It was an update to the MDGs, or the Millennium Development Goals, because what happened was when these particular goals were thought of. They thought, well, okay, we can have them accomplished by, say, 2015. Well, when it got close to 2015, it was like, oh, stuff, we're nowhere near it. So we have to come up with a new name. I was just on a show last night talking about this particular article, and it was brought to my attention that, you know, there's no guarantee that this stuff will come to fruition by 2030. It looks like it could. It very well may. But if it doesn't, don't be surprised if there's a new name that comes up. But what doesn't change are these development goals. So the first word always changes, but the development goals don't. And here's why. Because the UN has made it their mission to develop a problem in 17 areas of our lives. And they're coming up with goals to fix those developing problems that they are manufacturing.
It's funny, though, because all the answer is the government and centralization and global answers to the problem. Whether it fits you as an individual or affects your family is irrelevant. It's all about collectivism, right? So the good of the many, which in actuality is the good of the few, outweighing the needs of an individual and what it means to be a human being on this earth. That's to me, the common point. Where they cloak this in this pseudo ethical moral language that actually is amoral, if you really think about it. Human life means nothing. If you are consuming a resource in their system, you're a problem. They want you to consume as little as possible, have as small a footprint as you can possibly have, but still pay into their system and keep that system afloat. That is mercenary.
Oh, it absolutely is. And this is so far removed from what God created us to be. I mean, you look at the fact that he gave us abilities that far outweigh any of the things that we're seeing taken away from us. You see how he gave us free will. You see how he gave us a wonderful world to enjoy. And we were supposed to be about his business, not serving a government. Because if you'll remember, even if you don't follow the Bible very closely, you even know that it tells you that the government was to be on Jesus's shoulders, not on our shoulders. And it certainly was not supposed to be a millstone tied around our necks just because we happened to go outside and eat a Fig Newton when, you know, UN says you couldn't do that.
So you described at the beginning of our conversation how the United States seems to be one of the last dominoes to fall in this system.
Right.
Is it going along with it? I mean, I know the rhetoric is...
Absolutely.
Okay.
It absolutely is. And don't let the political kabuki theater in D.C. sway you. It is not true that we left the United Nations under Trump only to be reinserted under Biden. We were always in the UN. There were only a few funding streams that Trump did remove. Did he totally remove us? No, and he never was going to, because if you look at his ties, he is tied to some of the same people who are creating this problem. If you go back and you look at who started the vaccine crap, it was President Trump. It was not former Vice President Biden, who is now president. So I'm not saying that, you know, we need to look at one political party. No, they're both in on this. Congress is in on this. If you look at the plethora of lobbyists from these corporations that I've named and countless others that I've not named, they are tickling the ears of our congressmen and women, and they have sold out their soul to those lobbyists rather than standing for the constituents who put them in office.
That seems to be not a new phenomenon, but now it's toxic because every decision that they make affects every single person in this country and in the world. And if this is allowed to go forward, I don't see a way that we can reverse it because it's so overwhelming in its reach.
Right. And I want you to stop and think, if we, the people, Dr. Elena, were to pull some of this on our own or try to attempt any of this that we're talking about on our own, we would be so crucified by our system as awful people, and rightly so. So why are we the people not willing to crucify those who are doing this against our will, against our constitution, and harming our families? I don't get it. I really don't.
Well, it seems to be that it's about survival almost at this point. You're trying to stay in your apartment when the rents are going up. You're trying to pay for groceries that are gone exponentially higher. You know, I've heard that people who have mortgages with their insurance for their homes, that the price of the insurance is gone higher than their mortgage payments. And they might be losing their homes because they can't carry a mortgage if they don't have insurance. So there seems to be a really, full court press into making people really have to focus on survival. You really can't focus on what's being done to you if you're trying to just stay afloat. Maybe that's part of the strategy.
That is part of the strategy, because if you think about it, everything that you're saying is correct. But also think about this: private property cannot exist in a collective UN sustainable city. It just can't. And this is why we're seeing either the insurance going up or the taxes. I mean, we just got our tax bill for our house, 40% raise in taxes for the same property we've had for 20 years. So they're trying to price people out of private home ownership because you're too whatever to, you're not worthy enough to have your own home. But oh yeah, if you open up to total strangers, which we saw this happen in communist Russia, people who weren't even kin to each other would have to live in the same places. And you're talking about bringing in people you don't know. You don't know if they share the same beliefs. Are they axe murderers? Are they rapists? Are they, you know, carrying some communicable disease? You don't know.
You're absolutely right. And it's not sustainable from an individual level. I mean, you're under siege from the time you wake up to the time you go to bed. That is not a way to live. Oh my gosh. I mean, go ahead.
I was just going to say, but what we do need to understand is there are more of us, we the people, than there are those who are leading this. We can take this back, but we would have to be very strategic. We would have to be very united, because and we have said this, I don't know on how many shows when we start talking about solutions. If you stand alone or unprepared, you will be marginalized. And trust me when I say this agenda is big enough, it will eat you alive if you go at it on the offense in the wrong way. You would have to do it strategically. How would you do that? You would go after the local laws, the local funding. You would have to go after the local connections, and you would have to start there. We do have time to do that, but we would have to be so united and so well prepared, because trust me, these people have had decades to pull this plan together.
That's obvious. I mean, you think about all the lines of offense or defense that they have between the judiciary, the legislative system. It's all connected. And that money flows through every single one. It's amazing how much you're seeing the purse strings of various entities, like the government or, you know, whoever's in the government, whoever's in judiciary, and how they've basically, it's been a pod where they're voting for each other. They've have connections, either families connected. It's just all this network of money running through. But I agree with you. I would like to change that, but that's a tall order. Is it possible?
Oh, it absolutely is.
Well, what about the individual choice? Let's take our last break, because I want to ask about individual choices. Everything that we do either makes it more powerful or withdraws its power, in my opinion. Maybe we should start thinking about it in that way. It's like taking a smaller bite. So let's take our last break, because I want you to answer that when we come back. So we'll take our last break. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living in Solution. We're speaking with Miss Lynn Taylor, and you can go to her website, commoncorediva.com. And Lynn, we talked about a lot. We're going to get into solutions. And part of it is seeing if we can get rid of this system locally, because it's all local, really. And and there's the ones that we're in front of them, and they have a little bit more accountability to us. But they're still being paid by another source, right? So all they care about is getting in. We've seen various question marks about the elective process and how voting works. But what about individual choices? You know, we talked about this before. And I know you said putting your child in homeschool may not work because it's the same curricula. But you still have power over your child if they're in your presence, as opposed to letting them out.
Absolutely. So, individually, here's what I would suggest. First of all, American Policy Center, Tom DeWeese. If you don't know Tom, he is an absolute legend and expert on Agenda 2015, 2030, Agenda 21, whatever you want to call it. He is an expert. He has an effort going on right now where you can create a freedom pod in your town or in your neighborhood. I would strongly urge you to go to AmericanPolicy.org and look up the freedom pods that Tom is talking about, because he talks about some of these local actions, Dr. Elena. We also need to start having these hard conversations with people in our neighborhood or people who sit on our city council. Hey, how are we connected to the Sustainable Development Goals? Because we all are, whether we realize it or not. Even our tiniest town, we know our biggest cities are, but even our tiniest towns are. You need to turn off the TV. Yes, I said it, turn off the TV and start looking at legislation. Because if you don't know what is being planned that will be jurisdiction over you, how can you fight it if you don't know? So places like congress.gov, that's where I do all my legislative research. And you can search by term, you can search by bill number, anything, any topic, you can search there. I would also say, going into this 2024 election, if we're not having these stark conversations with those who are running for office or those who are wanting to contribute to campaigns, you know, what are you really contributing to? Do you know that, you know, candidate so-and-so really stands for A, B, C, and D? And if so, how deep in are they? You know, have that sort of thing. Because let's face it, this is totally unconstitutional, it's immoral, it's unethical, and it's just downright mean. And if you've got a candidate who doesn't know this, then why should you vote for them? Plan ahead. I know people keep saying that. Plan ahead, store your food. If you haven't started canning, start canning. If you haven't started freezing or finding ways in case the power goes out, because we know power is connected with all this as well. Go ahead and start doing that. Work with your neighbors, work with your family, work with your friends. You know, maybe you're not on the best of terms with any of these people, but the one thing we have in common is staying alive and helping each other. And if this is what it takes to help us pull together instead of just being so isolated, which is what the goal of COVID was supposed to be, was to isolate us so that we were too scared to have relationships with each other. Well, bunk that, you know, let's turn the page, so to speak. And then don't let the government define what your hunger is. Don't let the government define what your outcome as a living, breathing human, God-created person should be.
I couldn't have said it better. And I would add to that, your pocketbook, how you use your power over your purse is really important. Maybe people should start really disconnecting from this credit system and paying with cards. Instead, go back to cash-based, and stop going to places that are, you know, no cash. You know, everything's credit card, because that empowers the system to put you into that digital lifestyle. And the last thing you want to see is everything go digital, you know, where your purchases and your choices are tracked.
Yeah. And I would also add, bar the self-checkouts. You are not an employee of whatever company. Those people need those jobs to feed their families.
That's a good point. You know, convenience is at your own detriment at this point. If it's convenient, you're actually feeding this trough. And I say also stay out of the big box stores and go mom and pop,
there
go local.
Go.
I mean, that's people in your community who are like you, having to feed, like you described, having to feed their family. And when they stop existing, then the only game in town is going to be corporate driven. And we've had a great conversation, and I think people can figure this out by now. They're about making money. Mm-hmm. It's not about quality. It's not about customer service, unless they really have to do it. It's just putting the cheapest iteration of whatever it is out there. So yeah. If we know that the food supply is going towards bioengineered, chemical driven, not even food, just lab grown, we need to stop that. And how you stop that, they all work on money. Stop paying into it. And all of a sudden you'll have other choices. That's
absolutely
how I see it.
That's wonderful. Absolutely. Couldn't have said it better.
I mean, it's nothing wrong with going old school, is there?
Oh, no, because it's worked so well for so long. But, you know, that's part of the problem. That is part of the problem.
Well, as long as the generation, you know, 50 and up exist, that we need to make sure that the younger generation has access to an alternate way to do things and see things. It's very disturbing to read things like younger people don't know how to change a light bulb, you know, weird stuff like that, where, you know, my mom could rewire a lamp, you know, to make it work and fix the vacuum cleaner. These guys now can't do anything. And is that right by design?
I believe so. But we also need to understand that there are a lot of families out there who have planted seeds. And, you know, it's going to go back to the Bible. We were taught, you know, hey, some of the seeds are going to fall on fertile ground. Some are going to fall in the rocks. Some are going to get trampled on. But the promise was for the parents to raise the child, to educate the child. And, you know, whether they stayed with the belief system, whether they stayed with the way things were done, wasn't set in stone. But that seed was set in their heart. And the promise is when, you know, raise them up in that way. And when they're old, they will not depart from it. So they will come back. How fertile that ground will be is up to them.
Well, it's funny how when you're growing up and you're going through your various phases, you rebel against your parents. And next thing you know, you sound just like them. Not only do you look like them, but you sound like them.
And your
attitude completely changes. It just happens. Like, where did that come from?
Oh, but you know, when you stop and think about it, there are a whole lot worse people we could emulate than our parents. And I'm saying that as having a good relationship with my parents. I know not everyone is that blessed, but I think people can understand that there's someone in their life that they have a good relationship with that they could emulate better than some of these sinister minions who are trying so hard to just bastardize everything in our lives.
Yeah, I had a conversation last week with somebody who was talking about energy. And one of the things that really stuck out to me was that there's this voice, this marketing voice that is shrill and overwhelming. And that seems to be the voice that gets highlighted. And maybe it's time for people to take a step back and start listening to their own intuition instead of somebody saying, you look like this, so this is how you should think, or this is what you are because we say that's how you are, right?
Wow.
Whether that's whatever the class, race, sex, whatever.
Yeah.
People need to stop listening to that. And I think part of your solution is key. Turn off the TV because it's really designed. During COVID, I turned it off and I felt better. I felt bad listening to the news. I could literally feel my energy being sapped and a negative attitude starting to take over. And when I stopped listening to that stuff, it stopped. But we need to unplug from that. There's nothing wrong with it. As long as you have a perspective and you know it's droning and it's trying to manipulate you, maybe you can listen to it because you know what's happening. But if this is all you're listening to day in, day out, you are just being hoodwinked, bamboozled.
Yeah, you're being railroaded. Absolutely.
Yeah. Wow. So Lynn, I know we're almost coming to the end of the show, but I want to make sure people know how to, because I know now you write, don't you, for American Policy Center?
I wrote this one particular article for them. I'm thinking about doing another one for them, and we would have a conversation on that one too. But it is about, law enforcement and how they are joining forces with the United Nations.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Now that's, so
we'll see.
That's a whole other show.
It is. It absolutely is. But if folks want to get in touch, you can find me on Twitter or X or whatever it's called now. It's at Common Core Diva. Facebook is Common Core Diva. U.S. Parent Call to Action is another page that I was given. You can find me on Telegram, both as Lynn M. Taylor, and that's L-Y-N-N-E-M as in Mary Taylor, or Common Core Diva. You can also email me if you would like me to come speak to your group, or you want me on a show, or, you know, that sort of thing. You've got questions or comments. It's info@commoncorediva.com. That's info@commoncorediva.com.
Lynn, every time you come on the show, I learn so much. And I feel that the listeners really need to get out of, just be, you know, jogged out of this mindset of, there's nothing that we can do. It's going down a path. You're right. We have a lot of power because there are more of us than than this entity that we're dealing with. And it's time, every decision that you make, I think really now comes, it's crucial that you make a decision that's good for you and your family, not because someone's going to judge you, or, you know, you're part of the in crowd or whatever that is that drives people. They need to disconnect from that.
Right.
I want to thank you for joining me. I know you're busy, but I really love having you on the show, and I want to thank you for everything you do.
Well, thank you, Dr. Elena. And, you know, if people would like to financially bless any of the work that I do, there's also on my website a donate button if people choose to do that. And if not, prayer support is always welcome.
Oh, thank people need to do that. And I'm all for that because you're just a wealth of information and just a blessing.
Well, so, thank you.
Thank you for joining me, and thank you, everybody, for living in the solution.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.